This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Film is clearly a sophisticated art, possibly the most important art of the 20th century, with a rather complex history of theory and practice, writes James Monaco in his book, How to Read a Film. So far in our podcast, The Artists, we have had filmmakers, writers, critics, programmers from some of the top film festivals, musicians, thinkers, defining their combinatorial skills. We at Metaphysical Lab have been striving to expand the realm of our podcast, which in turn gives a wider canvas to the understanding of our experiences. And also we have tied up with Epilogue Media, the podcasting network. So you can find us on their website, epiloguemedia.com/theartists. And of course, you can continue to listen to us on the platforms that you choose, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify to JioSaavn to Google Podcast. Everything is mentioned in the description. And of course, you can reach us on the WhatsApp number and our email ID. I'm your host, Suchita, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful journey ahead with all of you. 100th episode of the Artist Podcast. Oh my God, I can't believe we managed to reach here. We managed to trudge along, nudge each other, and finally be here after giving up so many times on the way. So thank you so much to our guests. Thanks to all of you guys for listening, for tuning in, for helping us keep going. That's the most important thing. And as promised, we have a very special guest for today's episode. Someone who has been an inspiration to many and many of you guys out there. She has built an empire with the digital platform Film Companion. We all go to for the authentic news, reviews, and everything Indian and international related to movies, films, and cinema. Please help me in welcoming Anupama Chopra. She's a film critic, national award-winning book author, and journalist. She is the chairperson of the Film Critic Guild and director of the Jio Mami Mumbai Film Festival. She's covered cinema since 1993 in multiple mediums, print, television, and digital. She's currently the founder and editor of the digital platform Film Companion, and she's authored several books, including King of Bollywood, Shah Rukh Khan, and the Seductive World of Indian Cinema. Enjoy this episode. And lastly, I would like to thank Rohan Tucker for helping me out with the sound for this specific episode. Hi, Anupama ma'am. Thank you for being part of our podcast, The Artists. We are so grateful that you are on our 100th episode of the podcast. So thank you so much.
Wow. That's so thrilling, Suchita. Congratulations on having 100 episodes. That's a lot. Well done.
Yes, that was a journey for us, and hopefully we'll be able to continue more wonderful interviews and conversations with people across the country and the globe. And congratulations on your wonderful book, A Place in My Heart. And I was just so engrossed reading it, I actually forgot to send across the questionnaires, you know.
That's okay. That's not a problem.
To start with a very basic question, Anu, what prompted you to write this book?
You know, I have been wanting to get back to book writing, and it's been many, many years since I wrote a book. My last book was Shah Rukh Khan and the Seductive World of Indian Cinema, which I think was around 2008. And, you know, the books that have been published after that have been mostly compilations of my reviews or my interviews or articles I've written before. So I actually had not done the long distance haul of book writing for a very long time. And yet I was very afraid of it. I've spent the last 7-8 years being a digital first journalist, which means my attention span is basically Dory from Finding Nemo. You know, it's 3 seconds and it's done. I was trying to figure out a way where I could, you know, do a deeper dive and stretch myself and kind of do the long distance run. But also I was very intimidated at the idea of going into a subject and penning 50,000 words, you know. So I figured this was the best of both worlds, to just kind of do a book, but do a sort of listicle book. So, you know, so that I can write about many things, many people, many events in the movies, enjoy the sort of, I don't know, the you know, the beauty of like 1200 words, 1500 words, and yet have it all be part of one book.
But getting 51 people, your favorite films, events, it must be quite a challenging task, because I mean, you know so much, you've got exposure to every film in every country, every content on YouTube, every content on OTT platform, and then you are sort of condensing it to 51 number. Wow.
Yeah, it was a tough one, because you know, there is, like you said, there's so much, right? So I could actually just as easily start writing the sequel now, A Place in My Heart Part 2, because there is a place in my heart, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of movies. But, you know, I didn't want to write about things that I have written before, even though I have included a chapter on Sholay in this one. But that's only because I felt that there's too many people now, especially younger people who don't know Sholay, who don't understand the impact that that film made. But so my one filter was, ki, let's explore new films, things and people I haven't written about. And, you know, because I've also, there has been a book called 100 Films to See Before I Die, which was actually a compilation of a column I had done for Mumbai Mirror. So I didn't want to tackle the same films that I'd already written about. And that was the interesting part, you know, kind of finding films that I loved, but that perhaps I hadn't already explored.
The lunchbox is there. Mr. Bachchan, of course, evergreen. Sholay is there. Dawn is there. Karan Johar is there. But tell me one thing, Anu, if you would like to sort of say, and if we can possibly even question this, one thing that's common between all of them, the 51 number, what makes them touch your life or touch anyone's life?
You know, I think it's the power of storytelling. And that's also, it's the power of great art, that it touches you, it moves you, and in an unexpected way, and the power of great artists. So, you know, obviously movies are a very, very personal passion, right? They impact all of us differently. They impact us differently, even in ourselves, in the sense that I would respond to a film differently today than I did 10 years ago, because we evolve, and the film is of course the same, but our responses to it change. So I think what kind of unifies all of these people is just the power of art and storytelling.
And you have met, been in industry for a while, you have known people, filmmakers personally and their films. And this very beautifully you mentioned in the introduction chapter about that each Friday decides your fate afresh to the ugly, desperate pursuits for success, which remains elusive, treacherous, and uniquely lonely. And that is so true. You know, everyone going to Mumbai, everyone striving to become an actor or an artist there. What do you think, Anu, is that one secret, or, you know, your experience of people wanting to constantly be in this industry despite whatever they go through?
You know, it is, Sujita, it's so seductive that I went into this job as a, chalo, I'll do this as a stopgap before I figure out what I really want to do. And 30 years later, I'm still here. So even film journalists can't leave. Forget about actors and directors. I mean, genuinely, I didn't grow up thinking I'll be a film critic or a film journalist. You know, my mother, Kamna Chandra, she wrote Prem Rog for Raj Kapoor. She wrote Chandni for Yash Chopra. So we had a sort of link with the movies, but it was never something that kind of was the overriding passion in my life. And then I started to do it, and it was like quicksand. I just have never left. So I think it's a very, very seductive world. It's a very powerful medium, especially in our country, where cinema is not just entertainment. You know, it actually kind of decides and dictates how we dress, the songs that play at our weddings and our birthday parties and our pujas. It dictates the way, the language of love, you know, the way we talk to each other, what our fantasy of romance is, what our fantasy of beauty is. So I don't know. I think cinema in India permeates every aspect of our life in a way that it doesn't do in perhaps other parts of the globe. And that's what makes it so damn seductive. Like, why wouldn't you want to be part of this? You know, I remember Aditya Chopra had told me that when he was growing up, obviously, you know, he's Yash Chopra's son. Their house had artists coming in and out every evening. And he said for a while, he thought that's the only job people had. But everybody in the world made movies. You know? So I think it's a beautiful world, and if you can be part of it, my God, why wouldn't you? And in fact, I remember somebody else who said to me that they refer to anybody who's not in the movie business as civilians. And like, oh my God, they're civilians. They don't make movies.
Gosh, yeah. Wow. That's quite... So you start, and you start your book with Sholay. And there's a very interesting anecdote you've mentioned in a couple of lines about how Dolores Pereira predicted the success of the film before it was released. And I've come across this so many times, and I've met, you know, producers and actors who are literally obsessed by the fact that, you know, things like these, the premonitions exist. Do you believe in destiny? And do you think it's a good thing to rely on these premonitions, specifically in an industry like movie making?
You know, I understand why people rely on them, because it's so unpredictable. It's, you know, William Goldman, the writer of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, famously said that in showbiz, nobody knows anything. And that's the truth. Nobody knows anything. I mean, take the example recently of Pushpa, the Allu Arjun film, which has become a smash hit in the Hindi dub. And this is Allu, without Allu Arjun doing one interview, any bit of marketing, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And that film has become a blockbuster in Hindi, right? So truly, nobody knows anything. And because this business is so close to gambling in that sense of the chips can fall anywhere, I understand why people rely on it. But I think the only thing filmmakers should rely on is their own creativity, their own imagination, and their own hard work, because that's all you control. You don't control anything else.
Wonderful. So chips can fall anywhere. Something for our listeners. In Mr. Bachchan chapter, I know you've mentioned about this, you're visiting Filmistan studio and asking who's shooting, and the lightman says Bhagwan. And gosh, the God thing, Anu, is still there, you know. Mr. Bachchan is God forever. For our artist listeners, for the actors, directors, what do you think makes Mr. Bachchan tick for such a long time? He's still God.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. I always say to him when I meet him that I want to be you when I grow up, you know, because I think it's an incredible and undying passion for what he does. You know, he's still out there. He's still doing his dubbing and his shooting and his, and with that same level of commitment and enthusiasm. And, you know, I mean, I when I hear people who worked with him talk about how he'll come in and how he'll rehearse, and this is a man who's been in front of the camera for more than 50 years. I mean, genuinely, does he really need to rehearse? But he says he does. And I think that is what really keeps him going. It's what keeps him relevant. It's what keeps him connected to the billions of his fans across the globe. And I think it's interesting, you know, when an actor has endured for so many decades, he becomes like everybody, like from a different decade, will have a different view of Amitabh Bachchan. So for me, you know, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. So for me, it's like those films, you know, those Salim Javed movies that shaped my sense of great cinema. For others, it'll be KBC. For younger people, it'll be K3G and Mr. Rai Chand, you know, and it's incredible. It's just, I think it's just so fantastic that you can have an artist who can speak to so many generations of Indians.
And you also mentioned, Anu, in the book about his ability to connect with the audience. And that's how he even, you know, the KBC got sort of such a huge following because of Mr. Bachchan.
Yeah. You know, he's like, there is a very intriguing humility about him. He's never, ever put himself on a pedestal. We've done it. All of us have done it. But he's never done it. And in fact, it is almost, it's almost a little sort of irksome because he won't accept that he's iconic. And when you use a word like iconic, he's like, you're saying it. I didn't say it. So then you're like, come on, Mr. B, like, you really don't think you're iconic. But he is, of course he is. But, you know, when you don't believe your own press, that really, I think, enables you to always be a student of the craft, to always be a student of the movies. And, you know, the movies are limitless. You will never master cinema. Nobody can. Nobody can. There'll always be 2,000 amazing films that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it's, yeah. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's what keeps him excited and going. And it's so inspiring to watch.
And in your chapter, Dil Chahta Hai, one of my favorite films, you've mentioned about, again, this is again about prediction, what the actor Preeti Zinta predicted that this film was going to be cult. But you mentioned that a lot of distributors who had signed the project backed out after watching the film, thinking that this film is not going to work. Tell me, Anu, in your experience of watching films, going for test screenings, giving your perspective, and now with the OTT platform, what do you think are the odds of, say, something like Dil Chahta Hai working? That's A. And B, about the polarized point of views that comes out once people see a movie, and whose perspective would you ideally go with?
You know, look, polarized perspectives are a fact of movie going, right? Because cinema is, it's your personal response. There's no right or wrong. There's no fact of, it's a quality, it's an opinion, right? Yeah. And a movie, yeah. And it's amazing to me how there will always be some fans of movies, even movies that were really, really disliked by the larger population. You know, one of my sort of moments of non-glory is being the sole fan of Befikre, right? Nobody else liked it except me, you know? And I was a huge fan of Ram Gopal Varma's Daud, and I thought it was hilarious and nobody else did. So look, there's always going to be varied opinions. And I think that it's very important for each person to make up their own mind. I think the danger of social media is this fostering of a slightly of a herd mentality, you know, that, oh, yeah, you can't be contrarian. You can't go against the larger opinion out there that this film is good or this film is bad, or you know, the fact that people now judge you for the kind of films you like. So if you liked Kabir Singh, then you must be a certain type of person. But maybe not. Maybe that story just spoke to you, and maybe you saw that it's problematic, and yet you bought into the love story. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that there's any you can never predict what will become cult. If any of us could do it, we'd be rich. So you have no clue what's going to connect. You can only, Suchita, make what you love, what you believe in. You can only tell the story that speaks to you in a deep and profound way and hope that it connects with others. But you can't predict, and you can't second guess the audience at all, or say, ye film cult film ho jayegi. Nobody knows.
Totally. Anu, tell me, do you believe in test screenings? Do you think that's a good idea for any maker to do that?
Absolutely. You know, in fact, I have just, like, literally yesterday finished reading a book called Audienceology.
Yes, I've got that. Yeah.
You know, and it's about, it's by Kevin Goetz. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. And it's about how, it's about test screenings and how test screenings have actually shaped some of the biggest hits in Hollywood, and it's starting to happen here. You know, more and more makers are going to research firms. They're doing test screenings. Look, a movie is it's a personal expression, right? So it cannot be made by committee. It cannot be made by algorithm. It cannot be made only by data points. But it is also not a painting that you will hang on your own wall and enjoy, right? You are making it to communicate with the larger audience. And therefore, if you can get responses and take what you want, it shouldn't be that audience ne ye bola hai, toh ye karna hi hai. No, you know, you are the maker. And in fact, the person who's very, very evolved about this is Amir. I remember he called us to watch Gajni. You know, this is before research firms had actually started doing very, very kind of formal research, you know, where people are given cards to fill out and all that kind of stuff. He would just do test screenings for family and friends. And for me, it was the first time I was participating in one. And I was quite amazed at how open he was to critique. You know, he wanted to hear what didn't work for you. And that's wonderful. Because genuinely, you're not making it just for yourself. And makers should be open to test screenings.
And you mentioned three women directors, the big ones, with four films from Sai Parajpe, from Zoya and Meera Nair. Did you find any stark difference between a male and a female director in terms of the emotions, in terms of touching lives?
No, I think that would be too reductive to say that women are better with emotions or men are better with action. I think that's thinking in very, very simplistic and stereotypical terms. I personally don't think there's any difference. You look at Catherine Bigelow, she's directed some of the most kick-ass action films, and some of the most incredible films about women have been made by men. I mean, look at last year's Gili Poochi, which was made by Neeraj Ghevan. So I don't think that there is a difference, an absolute difference like that. But perhaps women would be more mindful of having female characters who are layered, who are, you know, so I've often talked to Zoya about this, and she's always said that, of course, she's, you know, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara was, of course, about three male friends, right? But that didn't mean that the women were just caricatures. It didn't, you know, so I think because, I mean, as women, you want to see more full-bodied female characters on screen. And perhaps that's something women directors might be more mindful of. But other than that, I can't imagine that there are any absolute differences.
And you also mentioned quite a few films from South. There's Nayakan, Super Deluxe, Vada Chennai. Why do you think South films are suddenly taking, you know, everything? And do you think that Hindi industry needs to sort of look up to this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, the truth is that they are doing great work. There's an incredible level of artistry happening. You know, whether you look at Malayalam or Tamil cinema, I mean, you know, you see the level of storytelling, the kind of performances, or if you look to Telugu cinema for the larger in life experience, right? But the conviction and the hard work that they're putting in, just because it's masala doesn't mean it's lazy masala. There's a lot of thought and construction going into every frame of that. And that's fantastic. And the reason that everyone's talking about it is because now it is on streaming and all of us can access it with subtitles, right? So for me, I know, you know, dubbed South Indian films were always on satellite, but I don't like watching dubbed movies. I prefer to read. And I prefer to see actors speaking in the language that is the original language of the film, you know, because I feel like it adds more authenticity instead of suddenly them speaking in Hindi. So I think the fact that all of this is now available at the, you know, on your computer screen, and I don't have to go into a theater to watch something, has opened up the eyes of so many people, you know, who weren't aware, including myself. You know, I didn't watch so much Malayalam cinema 3 years ago. I didn't watch so much Tamil cinema. My life was very sort of dominated by Hindi cinema. But I'm so grateful that now it's not. And I'm watching cinema from across the country, and it's just fantastic.
And you have this beautiful picture of Martin Scorsese with you. I mean, we're big Martin Scorsese fan. And he was talking about Satyajit Ray. So what did he say?
Well, just about, you know, how much he admired the cinema of Ray. And how, you know, how much he was influenced by the cinema of Ray. He's not somebody who's like, or at least then was not majorly familiar with mainstream Indian cinema, but Ray is somebody whose work he had seen. And then after that, he talked also about how tough it was for him to raise money to make a film. Can you imagine? This is Martin Scorsese.
Imagine. Yeah. Oh my God. Scorsese is finding it tough, then imagine.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, really long live Netflix, because they enabled him to make The Irishman.
You've met filmmakers and you've seen their films. And I had other critics on the podcast, and she told me that she met Godard and she read Godard and she wrote about Godard and she's seen Godard films. But they're two different, they're very different personalities in terms of, you know, the films are different from the filmmaker. Do you feel a filmmaker and their film are same, or do you feel... or they can be very different entities?
Look, they can be different entities, but they'll always be the essence of a maker in a movie. If the maker, if he or she is making cinema that's more personal, if you're making very broad-based, generic sort of cinema, then perhaps there isn't really a reflection of your personality in love. But if you're making more personal, more intimate movies, then absolutely there would be.
What would you want the readers to take from this book?
You know, I would love if the readers discover titles in a place in my heart that they didn't know, that they weren't aware of. I would love if the book can lead them to movies that they didn't consider or, you know, never thought about seeing earlier. And I would love if, you know, if they read some of the stories of how Hindi cinema, the film industry used to be, or the way it's shaped up, and just kind of consider, you know, how massive the cultural impact of Indian cinema is, and what a valuable and important place it occupies in pop culture. I think we lose sight of that, and the last 2 years, especially through the pandemic, have been very rough for Hindi cinema. You know, there's been a lot of abuse hurled at Bollywood. Yeah. And I just think that we need to remember the joy these artists and this art has given us.
Yes, an important place in the pop culture and the joy the artists have given us. Thank you so much, Anupama Chopra, for your time and for being part of the podcast.
Thank you, Suchita. Take care. Thanks for having me.
A place in my heart. I'm going back to reading some more of it, but also pondering on some of the great takeaways from this episode. One being that chips can fall anywhere. Second, be humble. Third, be a lifelong learner. Fourth, stay committed and inspired like Mr. Bachchan. That's it, guys. Don't forget to follow us. Follow me on our Twitter and Insta IDs, Metaphysical Lab. You can also find me on LinkedIn. Take care. Have a great weekend.